by the US before we can talk about any exchange of data and about any replacements or improvements of the Safe Harbor Agreement that covers data protection and data transfers between the EU and the US. So there is a lot of work ahead, and there is really a massive problem with trust in the relationships now.
Andreas Kirsch, I want to thank you for being with us, President of European Digital Rights, obviously a discussion we will continue. I want to say thank you to all the team here at Okto Community Television who made this possible, but I can't possibly say all their names, at least pronounce them correctly, so let them speak for themselves.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 8 o'clock. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting Talk Radio.
I'm Rusty Butler, a Siletz tribal member. I got in trouble with the law when I was 14 years old and spent my teenage years behind the bars. My culture and traditions helped me find my way. I now work with the Siletz youth in my community. Hear my story on Prison Pipeline, November 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Nanta Sri Nagi Thai, Nanta Ho Ho Ho,
Nanta Ho. Who are the cowardly terrorists here? Who are the ones who attack civilians, and who are the ones who attack military targets? The reality is a total reverse of the propaganda claim that the so-called Palestinian and Lebanese terrorists attack civilians, while Israel is the noble army that fights fair and square.
Hello, this is William Seaman. Please join me, along with Hala Gores, for an hour of talk on Palestine and Israel. The program, One Land, Many Voices, airs the fourth Friday of every month at 9 a.m. here on listener-sponsored community radio KBOO.
Zionist ideology is based on rejection of the Enlightenment. If you trace it back, it's part of the romantic reaction to the Enlightenment.
Tune in, call in, and join the discussion. One Land, Many Voices, fourth Fridays at 9 a.m.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
Ah, it's the sound of microphones in the morning. Isn't that, it's comforting. Now I'm playing with the little rubber bandy parts that hold it steady because they decided to come unsnapped. Like, the second, actually, that it got turned on.
Well, good morning.
It knows. It knows. So it's 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're listening to KBOO.
I can hear you fine. Okay, I can hear me.
So you play with your headphones. Right. I'll play with my microphone.
This is KBOO, your very own community. Oh, thank you, Monica. Very own community radio station right here in Portland and the world, I tell you what. We are positively revolting.
And we hope you are too. So I just want to, we'll jump into things. I'm Ani. And
I'm Lynn.
And here we are.
I can hear myself, so we're all right.
Look at you. Look at you. We were all okay anyway. Now you're okay too. This morning,
Kathleen.
We are, in fact, turning our attentions once again to the continuing war on women because
it continues. Apparently.
Yes. The thing is that there are so many facets to this war, so many facets to the ways that women are denigrated and hated and really kind of, well, you know, taught that we are lesser than,
threatened
in this culture, that really we could just do very little else but talk about different facets of how the patriarchy plays out daily in our lives. But every now and again, we do approach other topics. Today, however, is not one of those days. We are, in fact, looking at the case in point of Gamergate, because that is the latest facet, let's just say, in this war on women. And to join us in this conversation, we have Monica Olson, a local gamer in the studio. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
Thanks
for joining us at this rude hour.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
It's a beautiful thing.
Not the hour.
Well, no. But you being able to actually be here, it's a beautiful. So the online gaming world, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. It's notoriously male-dominated, geek culture in general, computer culture in general, notoriously male-dominated. When women start speaking out to change this sort of, I won't say last bastion of sexism. I mean, you know, in my dreams, it would be. But in fact, this, let's just say, another bastion of sexism, they've been targeted by vicious online harassment and retaliatory threats. Last week, Anita Sarkeesian was forced to cancel a speech at Utah State University after the school received an email threatening to carry out the, quote, deadliest shooting in American history at the event. The email sender wrote, quote, "Feminists have ruined my life, and I will have my revenge," end quote.
God,
that's just sort of like ultra creepy.
Well, it's beyond creepy.
Yeah.
I will say
ultra creepy. It's just, you know, and beyond. Ultra creepy and beyond. Sarkeesian spoke with Democracy Now! Earlier this week. Listeners to KBOO may have heard Sarkeesian speaking with Amy Goodman, I think it was Tuesday, about her campaign to expose misogyny, sexism, and violence against female characters in video games, despite repeated physical threats. She says that online harassment, especially gendered online harassment, is an epidemic. Women are being driven out. They're being driven offline. It isn't just in gaming. It's what's happening across the board online, especially with women who participate in or work in male-dominated industries. So that's just sort of a little background information, a little setting up of things. Let's talk to you, Monica. Thanks for joining us. There's a reason you got up this early.
Yep.
excuse me. I was apologizing just before we went on the air. I'm a little asthmatic-y today, let's just say. A little wheezier than usual. We talked about how male-dominated gamer culture is. Let's start actually backing up one step from there and talking about Gamergate. Just what is Gamergate? This phrase, this hashtag, this thing that is now in the news this week, what is?
Gamergate seems to have started as a
sort of revenge from an ex-boyfriend for... He gave a whole list that was mostly rambling, but it seems to have snowballed from there. And all the allegations he made of her sleeping with journalists to get a better review or whatever has been proven to be false.
And still not... it's not okay to try to kill someone.
Well, no, it's never okay to have online...
So this is a game developer, Zoe Quinn, who was targeted basically by an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we all know that that's never problematic, right? I mean, you know, exes always act with the utmost of integrity to each other's characters and backgrounds. So her former boyfriend wrote a blog post that had all manner of allegations, including that she had been sleeping around to get good gaming reviews.
Yes. And he basically set the internet on her, and she got all sorts of threats.
How do you set the internet on someone?
Find trolls with similar interests and ideals.
So okay. Let's talk about a couple of terms. One of the ways you set the internet on somebody is by doxing them.
You see, this is really great. What does this mean? I'm the person who can ask these questions.
Yeah, right. I love that Lynn is the foil.
I am old.
I am the in-between.
Okay.
And we have Monica, yes. Youth of today.
Yes. The triple goddess, so to speak.
You know, I am, and in full disclosure, I am a nerd. I've always been a nerd. I'm on the geeky side of life. And
we have cookies.
It's true. Come to the dark side. And I realized as I'm walking into Studio 2, oh, yeah, Monica and I recognize each other from science fiction conventions that we've been to. Okay, so we have... this is our range of experience here in this room.
So, yeah,
doxing. We're going to get back to doxing.
And even trolls. Some people don't even know what trolls are, besides those little dolls that happened in the 70s.
Those are the cute trolls.
I know.
Okay, so let's start with doxing. Doxing is when somebody is posting personal information about you all over the internet. Say, Lynn, if you and I had a falling out,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to set the internets on you,
yeah,
I would find somehow, because I wouldn't know just by going over to your house for cookies. I would find where you worked. I'd find where you lived. I'd post this information. I'd find out some bits of history, and I'd tell people that they should maybe... you know, go check you out because you've done these nefarious things. That's doxing. Am I more or less on target with that? Would you agree?
Yeah.
Oh, woman of today.
They find, like, personal information, your phone number, your home address, email, age, date of birth, just any sort of personal information that you could find and post it to the internet in various boards. And encourage people to go harass others who they've said have wronged them or needs to be harassed.
Right. And so this is one way that harassment happens. And trolls, go ahead. Monica, when you said that when Lynn asked how one sets the internets on somebody, and you
trolls
said trolling.
Trolls are basically people who make a hobby of... harassing people on the internet, trying to lead them into conversations where they can just put them down, insult them, make them seem better than the person they're trolling. It can get quite vicious. There's been people who have been harassed for months by the same person.
So it's hard to stop this.
Yes. There's very little that a lot of boards can do other than maybe ban the person or put them on probation, but they can just make another profile.
I was going to say, but they can pop up in another profile.
Yeah, yeah. And continue the harassment.
So this seems to be problematic in that also because we want to have a free and open internet, and yet...
some people use the internet for bad.
Misbehave, yes. The internet, like not using their toys for good. So... go ahead with... So this is the main crux of this matter, isn't it? Besides misogyny. I mean, it's part of misogyny also, but... Because we still want to have a free and open internet, and what do we do?
It's certainly another thread in the tapestry, let's just say.
I guess you have to be more creative than punishment.
I don't know. I look at it as another tool that they use. Because they've always had methods of harassing women,
right, exactly.
Through the media.
Through the ages, yes.
Through the ages. And I just look at the internet as another tool for them to do that.
So it's not the internet. What is it?
It's not quite the internet per se, as the ability to remain anonymous while you're harassing someone. And they're pretty good at doing that. There have been some of them that have been called out and actually found out to be harassing people, but most of them, people don't know who they are.
Stay sequestered in their basement and never get outed, so to speak.
Well, I see that as a stereotype. A lot of them are just people you wouldn't imagine doing stuff like this. People who are bored. People who do a normal life and then get off work and hop online to harass someone because they think it's funny.
There's an anonymity that people sort of feel when they are on the internet, and you can have your 2 minutes of pure hate on whatever target. Unfortunately, in this society, given our hierarchical social oppressions, right, given the fact that women and people of color are often targets for hate, especially from a white male dominant society who is in fact freaked out about encroachment on their entitlement issues, let's just say, then we see this sort of lashing out, and the targets being women and people of color. So in this, one of the things that I think is really important to note is that this is going on with women who are venturing into very male-dominated fields. Women game developers are, let's just say, in the vast minority of game developers, and yet women play games. Women are gamers. So I want to sort of start there or put that out there. And that when the women are, in fact, then speaking out about the sexism in game world and geek culture and in tech culture, that they are, again, being targeted. Because, as we heard from that quote earlier in the show, feminists are ruining our lives. And, you know, taking this very special boys' club. You know, they're forcing the door open of this very special boys' club, and it's uncomfortable for some of these boys. And so what are they doing? They're targeting women in very vicious ways. And again, nothing new here, but a different facet to look at, a different micro community in which this kind of violence is bubbling over right now. And I want to say violence because I want to talk for a moment a little bit more about Zoe Quinn, the woman whose boyfriend kind of started this with his virulent online harassment of her. His harassment of her included doxing, threats of rape, and this is his stuff, and then the stuff that followed from other men, including doxing, threats of rape, hacking attempts, and at least one death threat. According to Zoe Quinn, the internet spent the last month spreading my personal information around, sending me threats, hacking anyone suspected of being friends with me, calling my dad and telling him I'm a whore, sending nude pictures to me, sending nude pictures of me to colleagues, and basically giving me the burn the witch treatment. The New Yorker reported an example of the threats. Quote, next time she shows up at a conference, we give her a crippling injury that's never going to fully heal. A good solid injury to the knees. I'd say brain damage, but we don't want to make it so she ends up being too retarded to fear us. Right? So that's like an example of the sort of threats that she was receiving. That's just sick. right?
It is.
Untoward and uncalled for.
So I want to let you know, you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are talking about Gamergate. We are talking about sexism and misogyny. We are talking about the war on women. And we are here with Monica Olson to help us do just that this morning. You can join in this conversation at 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. You can also like us on Facebook. You can find us there, Positively Revolting. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
Now, a guy named Ryan Cooper wrote an article saying that the talking about how Gamergate has backfired spectacularly on its nincompoop perpetrators. And he has a little quote from Matahibi, who the guy who writes for Rolling Stone and other places, who he once wrote about the Tea Party, saying that after lengthy study of the phenomenon, I've concluded that the whole miserable narrative boils down to one stark fact. They are full of, well, let's say manure, all of them. Which is about the amount of attention they should receive, except something has to be noted when people are making these sorts of threats. So is there any sort of, what I keep saying, is there any kind of recourse for this besides outing them and trying to identify, or just this whole, because it seems like it has backfired a wee bit, doesn't it? Besides the fact that they're making women's lives miserable. But there hasn't been much sympathy in the general public for these guys. For women, for the women, yes.
There hasn't been much coverage of this other than online.
Well, Democracy Now! Has had it, and we're doing it. So I guess that's there's two.
Hey, Fox News had something.
Oh, God, what did they have?
Know, fair and balanced, I don't know.
They said that if they wouldn't wear short skirts, it wouldn't be a problem. Maybe that was it, yeah.
You know, it's gotten some attention. It's gotten a lot of attention, especially in sort of tech blogs, I guess, gamer blogs. But not, certainly, I think, bringing it out there to the attention of people that misogyny is alive and well. We know that, but it's in micro communities. It's everywhere. And the thing I think that is really worth noting is the vehemence, the virulence, the violence, the sickness of the retaliation. When women start to speak out about the fact that things are messed up, right? And we know that that is the traditional way of being kept in our places. You speak up, you know, you might get hurt. So how do we keep pushing on? It's silliness. Again, speaking as somebody who's been involved in some nerdydom, I've always been kind of in that, ew, kind of, you know, why is it in comics? Why is it in games? Men get armor and women get G-strings. I mean, how does that work?
Bikini mail.
Right. It's magic. you know, obviously our vital organs are very specific, I think.
Certainly won't protect from a gut shot.
No midriffs. Anyway, how does, you know, and so to start speaking out about wanting characters that actually wear armor, characters that actually use weapons, characters, that actually might be protagonists instead of the victims to be saved in games. Things like that, to speak out about it is inviting this sort of level of harassment, is worth noting, worth being aware of, and worth fighting.
Mm-hmm. With Should we that, take a caller?
Go ahead and talk to John. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the topic.
Sure.
I'd like to acknowledge the things that you're saying is that, in general, the gaming world is filled with sexism, and you see it where everything that you're discussing is true. You'll see women are presented as sexual objects in games, and there's times where there's very disturbing behavior being perpetrated towards the female characters. So that's a very real thing. Even me as a man and as a father, when I'll see games and I just like shake my head, you know, where, you know, there'll be a female character and her proportions are the idealized Barbie proportions.
I was going to say it's Barbie.
In reality, and that's distressing to see. And I know that there are, you know, the people that you have to deal with of my gender who are misbehaving. And I just want to say, is like, as a man, I totally disagree with both the presentation of women in these games and then with the vitriol that is spewed when it's pointed out how absurd and offensive the games are.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much for your call this morning, John.
Absolutely. Can I make one more comment?
Please.
So the one thing that I do see is like, and I think KB was actually pretty good about this, is so you were talking about the hierarchy in our culture, and it's true, like there's white male privilege, and I myself as a man have actively chosen not to be high up in that hierarchy. And as a, the way that I would put it is, as a lower ranking male within a really strongly hierarchical structure, I've received a fair bit of what rolls downhill,
oh, sure,
the way that I would put it. And I mean, I think that in our culture in general, it's hierarchy where the stratification is always so that everybody is jostling to see who's above and who's in control. And that dynamic, it permeates relations between the sexes without a doubt. But it permeates everything. So much so that many times if you try to behave in an egalitarian manner, what you're met with is dominance. And if you're trying to behave in a cooperative manner with people whom the only manner that they know how to deal with the world is control, you wind up always being the person who makes the compromise, and that's a real difficult place to be.
There's are you familiar with the work of Rhianne Eisler?
No.
Rhianne Eisler is an author. We've interviewed her. She's wonderful. She wrote the book The Chalice and the Blade many, many, many years ago. Since then, she's gone on to write many things looking at partnership culture and partnership paradigms. She does trainings to try to help people shift from dominator culture to partnership culture. And part of those trainings is about dealing with people who are not interested in making that shift, let's just say. How can we sidestep situations? Sidestep's probably not really the word. I always look at it in sort of like, you know, activist Aikido or something, that you're right. If you just start trying to work with people in dominator culture who are very my way or the highway kind of folks, and we don't want to play that game, unless we get really grounded in some ways of changing the game we're in, we get steamrolled. So it's interesting stuff to check out. Institute for Partnership Studies. Check that out, John.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
In the good news department, there is apparently a summer camp called Girls Who Code, and they have, it's an immersion program which aims to school at least 1 million young women in computer science by 2012. And two women, Sophie Hauser, who's 17, and Andy Gonzalez, who is 16, have come out with a, and it's not out quite yet, but it's a gamer app for mobile phones called Tampon Run, and I actually can't wait to see this. It's going to be out, it looks like, in November.
Liddy.
What?
It's just,
is that great?
You're so cute. It
brings to mind so many horrible images.
Well, see, I don't have to do that anymore. So, but it's, the fact that the pair of young women who built Tampon Run are a powerful reminder of the opportunity in tech and gaming. This article says males and females play video games about equally, but the gamer developments are 76% male. So it's, with many things, it's always interesting to me in the creative arts, creative areas where you think there would be cooperation. It is immensely, it is the most hierarchical places that we, women have way more opportunities in business than in creative fields. That's starting to happen. Even like if you're a chef and you're, there are more male chefs, that's starting to wane out. The movie industry, which you think of as such a creative thing, is extremely hierarchical and misogynistic. Women painters used to have to disguise their name. Writing, women used to have to change their names. So that has always just been a strange, contradictory thing to me. I've never really understood that. Well, but apparently only men can create.
Well, with
except children, of course.
Well, with the gaming industry in particular, a lot of men think, oh, we created it, therefore we own it. And all these women are coming in and trying to change it. And with these women coming in to change it, they feel threatened. They're like, oh, they're invading. They're trying to take away the games we love, where they objectify women and have, like, gravity and particular animation for certain parts of their anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that, oh, they'll just get rid of all that and make it super feminist stuff where they'll be the men that are objectified or put down. And
oh, so they think they'll just reverse it instead of make things egalitarian.
They'll treat men how men already treat women.
Of course.
Yes. And it actually makes men who don't agree with that look bad, because it becomes the prevailing outlook on the whole industry. And men who don't agree with it, who actually want equality, really should speak up more. And I'm glad to see that they are starting to speak up more, because it really needs it. And they need to pretty much check their fellow men who are in the industry going, hey, that's not cool.
That's a very good, very, very good point. I just want to remind people that you are listening to KBOO in Portland. This is Positively Revolting. My name's Lynn. I'm here with, who is that over there?
Yeah, we call me Ani those days.
Okay, Ani, and we're also here with Monica Olson this morning. We are talking about Gamergate, gaming, the role of women in that, how to break that piece of hierarchy in our never-ending series that keeps on going on the war on women. If you would like to, if you would like to call in this morning, 503-231-8187, if you're a woman who have, you know, anybody who's had some experience with gaming, we would love, 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 love to hear from you. If you want to comment on the internet, we've got positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. And we are also at Facebook, on Facebook at Positively Revolting. And we are on the Twitters on Positive Revolt. So all that stuff's covered.
It's all covered. It's you can covered, get a hold of us good. Any of a number of ways.
We're not on Reddit.
You sound like a frog. I'm just gonna moving on ahead. So it's, again, this is, I think, a little more pervasive than just gaming. We're talking about a microculture. We're talking about a subcommunity. We're talking about
one piece of the whole.
Yeah. And
the whole misogyny pie.
Certainly.
That sounded like it would taste disgusting.
Because it would.
It's like, yeah, it would be horrible. So in looking at gaming, looking at comic culture, looking at con culture, looking at all of these sort of bastions of, again, the women have been sort of on the sidelines for so long, and yet there's been very strong women pushing in from those sidelines, you know, for many years. There's been you know, amazing authors and creators, programmers, artists, and still marginalized in all of these ways in that community. So an article, Does Comic Con Condone Rape Culture? Somebody has sent me a link to that. And I just want to sort of go through it quickly. Again, neither Monica nor myself are strangers to con culture, and this kind of does resonate, shall we say, with me. From the article, and this is from Ms. It's on the Ms. blog. Sexual harassment and assault are prevalent everywhere in our culture, including public events. In some cases, though, the atmosphere of particular events actually seems to promote or at least tacitly condone harassment. San Diego's Comic-Con, the biggest convention of its kind, is one such event. This is written by Natalie Wilson, who says that in her piece, Comic-Con, Gender Norms in a Carnivalesque Atmosphere, she notes that Comic-Con can act as a barometer of gender consciousness or lack thereof. She writes, though women are now far more present as both producers and consumers at the con, the representation of females in the media featured still overwhelmingly fits in with normative codes of femininity, particularly in relation to the sexualization of women that frames them to be looked at. Further, the prevalence of cosplay, otherwise known as the donning of costumes and sort of being characters for a weekend, much of which involves sexy costumes, quote unquote, combined with the carnivalesque atmosphere, results in an environment that makes some attendees feel entitled to gawk, grope, grab, take lewd photos such as upskirts, and follow con a fellow con enthusiast. The con was a male bastion for many years, and females were rather reluctantly allowed in, just as comic book and gamer culture has often been reluctant to fully include women. All of these factors, the author contends, Natalie Wilson contends, are what makes the event so rife, not only for misogynist comments, but for this behavior, also for sexual harassment and assault. Bitch magazine conducted a social media survey and found out that 25% of women at such conventions report being sexually harassed at those conventions. Another 8% report being assaulted or raped. A piece from the Daily Mail similarly notes that a quarter of women attendees report being sexually harassed, and another report claims that 13% of people attending comic conventions report having unwanted comments of a sexual nature made at them.
You know,
it goes on.
I know. And also it says here that the British government wants to, put people in jail for a couple of years that are doing that sort of stuff. But I, as Monica pointed out, I don't think jailing people is necessarily, it doesn't seem to work very well, that men need to get in touch with other men and straighten themselves out, so to speak. I don't mean that in that way, but.
How do we start changing this this atmosphere? Because I like comics. I like games. I like dressing up in costumes, sometimes even sexy costumes.
Yeah, like. And wear plastic bags to Comic-Con, right? Everyone. Black plastic
bags.
But
again, how do we shift this? How do we shift consciousness and culture? Monica, over to you.
It's a simple question. Just kidding.
Well, speaking out more, getting more people aware of what's going on is one start. Especially men in the industries, speaking out, because a lot of people don't realize that all these industries, comics, video games, anything really, has become stagnant. The industries need more, they're based on creative ideas, and really it's been the same stuff until women have come into it. And
nothing more stagnant than misogyny.
That's true.
It's the oldest game
in the world. Thank you. That is a very interesting comment. So how do you think, just with more women, what would be your suggestion for the way to to make movement happen? That's what I want to say.
I know. Well, other than an internet laxative, mostly it's...
What would that be? What would an internet laxative be?
I
Let's
don't really
back
want to
from
think
the
about
brink.
That,
Let's step
really.
Back. you know, again, I think speaking out and becoming aware, encouraging men to do the right thing, men encouraging men to do the right thing is super, super important. But also looking at organizers of conventions and
that is
Monica, you were talking about being on committees. I've been on committees at conventions.
I was pretty, or I am pretty lucky with the main convention I'm with. I literally grew up in conventions, and I didn't really encounter much of a lot of that until I got older, about early 20s. I've seen it happen with a lot of others. I've been on security where I've had to hide a girl who is being stalked by someone at a convention. And there's a lot of people who think, oh, you're at a convention, you're wearing a short skirt or in costume, that gives me license.
That's an invitation.
That's an invitation. It gives me license to do whatever I want. Because if you didn't want me to, you wouldn't be dressed like that. You'd be in, like, T-shirt or jeans. And even then, they still get objectified and harassed.
If you didn't want me to harass you, you wouldn't be at a convention, is sort of the overall.
Exactly. And women who cosplay or go in costume or just even walk around, especially women who do costuming and those who they call booth girls, who are most often hired, a lot of those women are big fans of what they're doing, or otherwise they wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a, oh, you're pretty, so you're just pretending. It's people have interests in this, and as a nerd myself and a huge geek, if I can get someone interested in the same things I am, the fandoms that I love, all the better, because then I'm sharing something I love.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't really look at it from that view. Is instead of being inclusive and going, oh, no girls allowed, they really should embrace the new ideas they bring.
It would be more fun.
It would be.
But women bringing new ideas is threatening to some
Well, they think they're going to have their games taken away.
They're going to have to play different kinds of games.
Different kinds of games, girly games, which I don't really understand.
I know, that is...
I
don't do games and I don't understand that.
Most of the games that are geared towards women are in themselves incredibly sexist because they assume that all women want cutesy games with pink and flowers and all that, and...
Boy, that's...
Here I am in cargo pants and a Deadpool t-shirt.
They apparently have... I know.
Whereas I like sparkly things and I wear skirts all the time, but I still like first-person shooter games. Like, when I'm playing games, I want to play.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want hearts and bunnies in my video games. I'm just
saying. There's, like, two pictures. I've seen this on the internet a lot. There's two pictures of what gamer girls are described as. They're either slobs with, like, Cheeto stains and pajama pants who, like, don't leave their couch and are, like, super fat and just not attractive as the industry thinks women should be. And then you've got the ones that hold discs the wrong way and bite the controllers and play in lingerie.
Yeah. Scantily clad space bunnies.
And nothing in between. Well, I mean,
and nothing in between.
That's the depth of the misogyny that it's still. But it seems like I just have faith that young women are going to break through that because I don't know, because you all are smart and know how not to accept those sort of limits. And we've got a caller.
We do indeed. We do indeed. Good morning.
A couple of them.
Good morning, Pamela. You are on the line. Good morning, Pamela. Hi, Pamela.
Okay, I'm a self-identified geek girl or any kind of person who loves comics, comic-related things, or generally anything considered geek culture. Not a gamer, but I have been following Gamergate, and I feel like the news a day ago about Felicia Day getting...
Yeah.
Was the tipping point for me. if she is thoughtfully not even attacking those behind Gamergate, but exploring her own personal mixed feelings about what's going on in the gamer culture, and she still gets doxxed, what is the solution? I mean, what happens now?
Well, sunlight is always the best disinfectant. So, to me, that things are being brought out. There's no way if these things are kept in the dark and quiet that anything will ever change. And it's always baby steps with changing that sort of
and
stuff.
And basically, it gets right back to threatening entitlement. I mean, this is what is going on, right?
And you have to keep threatening it.
Because entitlement sucks. And that's a part of the unfair world in which we are trying to change things. So, it's just backing it up a moment. When we're looking at geek culture, we're looking at people who are often marginalized and who are misfits, period. Boys, girls, whichever. We're looking at, again, self-identified microculture. And so when you have people who are marginalized to begin with, who feel like they are on top of the heap of the marginalized people, and then you start talking about maybe the heap needs to be leveled out, right? Okay. Maybe your entitlement is not genuine. Maybe, in fact, women are at this gaming table too. Maybe women are also buying comics. Maybe we're also writing comics. Maybe, you know, all of these things. That's, I think, where we're finding the freakouts. That's where we're finding the doxing and the harassment and the stop that right now. Get back into your Space Bunny costume, because this is where I get to be king. And we are here to say no. In fact, the playing field doesn't have kings anymore.
Making others more aware of what's going on is a step. Talking to other gamers, other men, women on what's going on, and basically making it so the playing field is mostly people going, hey, that's not okay, because they're basically using their numbers as a overwhelming harassment campaign. And if we can whittle those numbers down, that's a start. And if it's just by talking to another fellow gamer or just someone random online, making them aware of what's going on, that's a start.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and thank you, Pamela. Thanks for your call.
And let's go ahead and talk to Patrick now. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning. And welcome to KBOO.
All right, thanks. I just wanted to say that I've been a gamer basically like since I was little, and I've noticed a change. And I'm thinking that, like, you know, back when I was younger, I guess the majority of gamers, a lot of people assumed that, you know, they were just nerds that, you know, didn't have any friends or, you know, didn't have relationships or, you know, stuff like that. So basically the gamers would make these games like with women, with, you know, that were, you know, sexualized and stuff, like, for instance, Tomb Raider. Back in the day, Tomb Raider, you know, I played Tomb Raider and when I was a kid, and, you know, I was just all about, like, exploring caves and stuff. And, you know, people were making a big deal about how, you know, giant her chest area was, you know. But, like, now they remade Tomb Raider recently, and now, like, she's normal and not sexualized.
Angelina Jolie won't be able to play her now.
No, that's not true. I think a lot of gamers, you know, I've talked to a lot of gamers, and they don't really care about, like, you know, how you know, a woman is portrayed, like, sexually. They don't care about the sexuality of the game. It's more like just if the game is fun. I think the people who make the games assume that that's what kind of people are playing now, and that will gravitate them by the video game. But realistically, now there's people that are ages from, like, you know, 16 to 40 years old playing video games, you know, and I think it's
changing. And older.
Yeah.
Just
and older.
Say.
So I think I totally like support women with, you know, I don't think, and I think it goes both ways. I think we both need to stand up and, you know, just unite and say, you know, let's stop the whole, you know, looking at women as an item, as a sexual item, by, you know, like actually having women protest against, you know, having to have characters that are like almost fully nude in video games. It's like, and, you know, the men actually come out and say, yeah, you know, we don't really care about the game if it's either, you know, sexualized or not, you know.
Better gameplay, less sexism.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people are understanding that, like, in movies, for instance, too, like, it's just, like, people throw in a lot of sex scenes, and it's like, I don't think a lot of people, even men, you know, they roll their eyes at the movie theater and be like, oh, great, here's the sex scene. You know, they don't care about that stuff. They want to see action. They want to see, like, you know, it's not about that, you know, and I think people are starting to realize that now. Yeah. You know, it's not, it's just too much. There's too much sex in video games, too much sex in movies, and it's just, I don't know who they're attracting, but, you know, it's like, I don't think people go out there to really watch that stuff. They go out there to get a good full experience. And I mean, I don't know.
Apparently they think that's full.
Well,
thank you so much for your call this morning.
Bitch Media, from their blog, again, sent in by trusty and intrepid listener. We call her Teresa. Hate from sexist gamer bros can't stop the work of feminist gamers. The thing I really want to draw attention to in this article is little statistics here at the very top. Gender of game players is really about 50-50, 52% male, 52% male, 48% female, according to this particular set of statistics. And the age of gamers, pretty much into thirds, about 29% under 18 years, about 32% 18 to 35 years, and about 39% over 36, some of them over 40.
Imagine that.
I'm saying.
Well, a lot of them grew up with, like, the start of video games.
Yeah. I remember Pong, and I played it when it was first out. Okay. Lynn, you have something to say, don't you? I can
tell. Well, I was going to just tell you what's coming up on KBOO this morning, because I know you're going to want to continue to listen. At 9 on One Land, Many Voices, looks at Palestinian Americans in the fight for justice in Palestine and U.S. activism, with follow-up reports on issues that show has covered recently, and an activist roundup on solidarity work nationally and locally. At 10, the inevitable Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints looks at how the shooting in Canada's parliament is being used to ramp up the war against, you betcha, ISIS. We also hear about the role of the Koreas in what is being labeled as the U.S. strategic pivot, and about the role of UC Berkeley in the new nuclear arms race. At 11, Suzanne LeGrand hosts Startup City with a focus on new opportunities for jobs in the tech industry. At 11:10, host Shakira Mehta hosts Rick Steves, host of Rick Steves Europe, about his support of Oregon ballot Measure 91, legalizing marijuana, and with journalist and filmmaker Jose Antonio Vargas about his support for Oregon ballot Measure 88. It's about the driver cards. At 11:30, Chris Andre is back to discuss Imago Theater's production of Harold Pinter's The Homecoming. And thank you all so much, KBOO members, for your support. If you're not a member, just go to kboo.fm and rectify that situation.
Do it. All right, so let's go ahead and Nick, if you are still there, Nick, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello.
Hey, it's good to call in today. I'm glad you guys are having me. Well, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I've been...
You've got to be really fast, Nick. We're almost out of time.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The thing is, I've spent a lot of time also looking at this sort of Gamergate thing that's blown up on the internet, just because I end up spending a lot of time wasted on the internet. And, well, mostly it seems like a really weirdly, like, faceted issue. Like, no matter what happens with the internet, you're always going to have a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people that are just really hateful that will latch themselves onto any sort of thing. But it's weird to see how things have blown up from, like, both sides. Like, you can look at, like, the Streisand effect is really applied both ways. I mean,
What do you mean by that, Nick?
What I mean by that is that originally, when things blew up with that, it was mostly because there was talk about it in the first place was being kind of censored on places like Reddit and 4chan and other boards. Basically, all these sort of like big internet conglomerations where people would get together and talk. And that, in part, fueled what people were so angry about on the pro GamerGator side. At the same time, the people that really seem to get under their skin, like Anita Sarkeesian, she's gotten a whole lot more press as a result of their vitriol and hatred and all that negative attention they've been giving her. And giving her, you know, it gives her more of a platform to speak against what makes...
Every action causes reaction.
Yeah.
Is sort of the principle you're speaking to.
Ah, physics.
Yeah.
But so and then so what? Where
I don't know. Just
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, good things to ponder then. Call. Thank you very very much, Nick.
Yeah.
Take good care. We have moments left, Monica.
If he's saying that, it's a bit more one sided with. The ones being harassed getting more of a platform to speak from, which
I couldn't tell.
I think that's what he was talking about. They would have more of a platform if their platform was built on more than just harassing women. If they were willing to bring more to the table than just death threats and rape threats and threatening to do a mass shooting because there's a woman going to be speaking about the gaming industry. People would be more willing to listen to them.
Can't argue with that.
Would seem. I want to just mention it again quickly from this blog post, Bitch Media, Hate from Sexist Gamer Bros Can't Stop the Work of Feminist Gamers. Just to mention that according to widely circulated studies from the Entertainment Software Association, women actually now outnumber teenage boys amongst the ranks of video game players. That's despite the fact that many best-selling video games still notoriously rely on the tired, hyper-masculine narratives with women as little more than scantily clad garnish on a hearty meal of combat scenes and weapon upgrades. I think that's a brilliant line.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can change that world. I think, important, just as when we were talking 20, 30 years ago about writing feminist women-centered protagonist children's stories and children's books. It's important to see strong women reflected all the way through pop culture. And that is what we're talking about. And that is threatening to people, to men who have felt entitled that this is, in fact, their piece of the pie. This is their world. So
this really hurts everyone. It hurts men and women.
Right.
And
sexism does.
It really needs to stop, and it needs to be viewed more.
Yeah. Patriarchy, okay. Bad.
Bad, bad, bad. I want to thank everybody this morning. Thank you, Monica Olson, for being here. Thank you, SW Concer, for your help in putting this show together. We thank you very much.
Ah, conch.
And we are running out of show here. Next week is a holiday. We're going to be here for that holiday. And tune in, because it may be the Astro Tarot week, folks. It's Samhain.
It's Samhain next week. It's
yeah.
True. And
so,
if we can't do Astro Tarot on the holiday
on
of the thinning
holiday.
Veil, when can we? all right. And with that, we'll be back next week, and we hope you will too.
Thanks for listening, and stay positively revolting.
What do you have instead?
No, this is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And KBOO Portland says thank you when you offer your financial support. Just as everyone did during our recent membership drive, brought us way over our goal. Thank you very much. Coming up this morning on KBOO, next, One Land, Many Voices with Zaha Hassan. And at 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints, looking at how the shooting in Canada's parliament is being used to ramp up the war against ISIS. That's right. At 11, Suzanne Legrand hosts Startup City, with a focus on new opportunities for jobs in the tech industry. At 11:10, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Rick Steves, host of Rick Steves Europe, about his support for Oregon Ballot Measure 91, legalizing cannabis, and with journalist and filmmaker Jose Antonio Vargas about his support for Oregon Ballot Measure 88, driver cards. At 11:30, Chris Andre is back to discuss Imago Theater's production of Harold Pinter's The Homecoming. And now, this.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform the old machine.